Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, March 23rd, and such a tease by the Pistons there on a night when the University of Michigan basketball team heads to the Elite Eight. But this is your boy Matt Shook, and I'm an AP freelancer here in Chicago. Also been following the Pistons my whole life. Got a couple of Bulls assignments, including the April 11th game against the Detroit Pistons to close out the regular season for both those teams and the season, let's be honest there as well. But today we're going to be talking about the latest loss for the Pistons against the Houston Rockets on Thursday night. And we're going to rehash an update of the playoff picture as well for those of us masochists who are desperately holding on to a small, although we're probably not willing to admit it. We're checking those standings still every day because we're insane people. But this game also gave us a deeper Reggie Jackson question that will be the one plaguing this franchise going into next season. It was almost like you could twist the statistics or the thoughts or feelings on Reggie Jackson, such a polarizing guy, but some things still remain about him that we need to work out going into next year. But we're also going to be looking ahead to Saturday's home game against the Chicago Bulls as the Pistons return home from the road trip going 2-4, probably the record that you would imagine that they would have had if you looked at the schedule and the teams that they were going up against in those games, but still probably the knockout blow, another one of the knockout blows. I guess they're on the ropes right now, just getting pummeled by other teams in the NBA, and the knockout blow will be coming very soon, but another blow to the body. But how about that C.J. Baird shot last night for Michigan? I know we probably got some Michigan State fans listening as well and some people who don't care about college basketball, but the walk-on former manager knocks down the three. Exciting times for the Michigan basketball program and its fans. So congratulations if you're an alum or a big fan of that team as well, as they will play on Saturday night now. So we'll check that one out as well. The Pistons lose 100-96 to the Houston Rockets, the best team in the NBA record-wise this year, overtime game. As I mentioned yesterday, you heard here on Locked On Pistons first, probably, that Chris Paul, he was hurt, and he actually ended up not playing, as I kind of suspected he may not. Blake Griffin had his first triple-double as a Piston, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Andre Drummond finished with 17 points and 20 rebounds. Ish Smith, 18 points off the bench, 14 from Luke Kennard, despite some bad shooting. Reggie Jackson was back in the starting lineup for the second game after he missed 37 games with the ankle injury. He was really bad. He had 4 points in 20 minutes, 2 of 13 shooting. We'll be talking about him quite a bit later on in the podcast as well. 0 for 6 from three-point land for Reggie Jackson in those 20 minutes. The Pistons shot an astounding 6 for 38, 15% from three-point land in the game. Blake was 1 for 7 from 3, with his only make coming in the final minute of the game in overtime after it was decided. Reggie Bullock, 2 for 7 from 3. Ish was good for him at 2 for 6 from 3. Kennard, Tolliver, Ennis, three guys that you come off the bench and hope would knock down some threes. They combined for 0 for 10, which I don't think is very good. But a real good defensive effort all in all for the Pistons there to hold the Rockets to 100 points in 53 minutes. But obviously, you know, it's an NBA season. It's one of those games where the Rockets didn't have obviously their second best player, but then maybe the motivation that you would hope that the best team in the league would have. A perfect opportunity for the Pistons to pull off the upset. And like I said, a game effort from them that was pretty strong throughout the most part. Obviously, Reggie Bullock's defense on James Harden is something that stands out, but a great run at the end of regulation too. Give him credit for that, for the Pistons, an 11-0 run to briefly take the lead in the final minute on the road against the best team in the NBA. So an exciting game, however way you slice it, but in the end, another disappointment for a fan base that has had plenty of those this season and really in this decade. So Andre Drummond, the goaltend late, he deflected the ball off the rim. It was probably not going in anyway, tying the score and giving the Rockets the chance to force overtime. That was a frustrating one. I thought it was the right call, by the way. Andre, just, you know, a great season that he's having and obviously a very good player in this league, but just kind of shows a lack of awareness sometimes and makes some boneheaded plays that are just maddening. Like I said, a good call, though, unlike the flagrant foul earlier in the game on Blake Griffin when he was there when James Harden landed on a jump shot You know, all fan bases complain about the refs and they're generally bad in the NBA, but it's obviously a really hard gig. That's not going to change, but you just got to be a good team and go out there and win games and play hard and produce. And too much of the season, the Pistons have not been doing that. For the Rockets, James Harden had 21 points, the presumptive MVP, 10 of those in overtime. So he took over when it was winning time, got to the line, although he shot poorly throughout the entire game. Like I said, he was kind of the difference when it mattered. And earlier in the day, we found out that Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks would be doubtful for Friday night tonight against the Bulls on the road. So the door was kind of open a little bit, as I talked about on Thursday's podcast. And I apologize if I maybe gave you guys a little bit too much hope with that one. But the Pistons' loss now has Detroit back to 5.5 games behind Milwaukee for that eighth and final spot in the Eastern Conference playoff race. The magic number with the Bucks is now down to 6, so 11 games to go for Milwaukee, 10 for Detroit, so 21 chances in all to get to that 6 mark, and obviously it's more of a question of when as opposed to if at this point, and has been for a while, but 10 games left for the Pistons, as I mentioned, and they are 8 games behind 500 at 32-40, so that dream of having a 500 season looks nearly dead too. 538.com, by the way, the new numbers after the loss to Houston are that the Pistons dropped to 3% chance of making the playoffs from 5 yesterday. Man, the Pistons needed that one. Obviously, at this point, you need everyone. And they still have that same 3% chance of getting into the top 3 of the lottery. Looking at the tankathon figures, the Pistons are a half game ahead of the Charlotte Hornets in the standings, so technically behind them in tankathon. Charlotte, by the way, top Memphis, a tanktastic team right now, by 61 points on Thursday. You just got to love March NBA basketball, don't you? The Pistons also a half game ahead of the Los Angeles Lakers, who are basically in a mathematical tie with Charlotte in the standings right now. So if you're a masochist and looking at lottery odds, the Pistons have to get to losing a little bit here in these last 10 games to increase their chances of the ping pong ball going their way. They've been in that tussle with Charlotte and LA for that 11th, 10th, or 12th spot in the ping pong ball rankings. Obviously, if the Pistons don't win the lottery, their pick goes to the Los Angeles Clippers from the Blake Griffin trade. The Pistons will play the Chicago Bulls on Saturday, and we'll talk a little bit more about that one later on. And then the Pistons have an important game if you're looking to draft implications with those LA Lakers at home on Monday. But like I said, we're going to be talking about the Reggie Jackson question staring Detroit in the face for next season. But if your company is interested in reaching those men between 18 and 44 Detroit provincial fans that love supporting their own, you should get on board with Lockdown Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men, 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach those guys, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Go ahead and send me an email at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be looking ahead to the Chicago Bulls, who come to Little Caesars Arena on Saturday night in downtown Detroit. But the big three is together for the Detroit Pistons. Not the big three you might think of first when you think of Detroit, but praise the Lord, they are back together. Man, it's almost like Reggie Jackson being out of the lineup for as long as he was kind of put an end for a little while about the questions about him and the frustrations about him. It's clear that the Pistons couldn't win with Ish Smith as the primary point guard, and that makes sense. He's a backup. He's kind of a gimmicky player in some ways that should get backup minutes, and he doesn't have a lot of tricks in his bag. And it's obvious that Reggie is an upgrade in talent over Ish throughout the course of a long game and a long season, but what is Reggie, and what could he be with this iteration of the team going forward with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, assuming that those guys are back next year, although no guarantee on that, with some possible front office upheaval or maybe even Stan Van Gundy thinking about some moves that he could make. But we know that the Pistons are stuck with Reggie Jackson, though. There's 2 more years on the deal for the point guard, $17 million this year, $18 million the year after that. In Thursday's game against the Rockets, Reggie Jackson was really bad. He had 4 points in 20 minutes, 2 of 13 shooting. Just his second game back from the long ankle injury. So there's obviously 2 ways of looking at this thing. You go through the win-loss totals the last few years with him, and it's obvious he's an important player of the team. They were doing very well before he went down the day after Christmas with the ankle injury, but still just a maddening player and kind of sums up the experience of being a Detroit Pistons fan during his tenure as well. But for him to come back in like he did on Thursday night and jack up 13 shots in 20 minutes, it's like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, I mean, just come in, get in where you fit in, like Too Short said. It was just a very selfish way to come back into this game. And I know the defense of him is, well, you know, give him some time. And I definitely agree with that. But Reggie, take some time, you know, ease into the things. Do some things that you do well offensively. Don't just, you know, take away from some of the players who have been getting things done offensively in the way that Blake Griffin is playing offensively as well. Don't feel like you have to win this game for yourself. Don't throw up 6 3-pointers and miss all of them. I mean, be part of the team. It's fascinating to see how he will cope with the fact that he's no longer the crunch time scorer on the team, but just another option out there with Blake Griffin being on the team. The Pistons could use a point guard of his talent going forward, obviously, but they just need the right guy and the right mindset. Will Reggie be that guy? Will Reggie adjust his game towards not being, like I said, the crunch time scorer, the guy who you're going to look to for baskets when things happen? Well, can he be more of a conventional point guard? The things that we talked about him coming into this year and did pretty well at times this season, but can't help but think that the success or failure of whatever happens with this team on the court next year is probably going to be a lot to do with Reggie Jackson, and obviously keeping Blake Griffin healthy as well and figuring out a way to make Andre Drummond more effective alongside Blake Griffin, which is going to be the huge challenge of this coaching staff and organization in the offseason as well. And then, of course, developing players, getting Stanley Johnson to make some jump shots, getting Reggie Bullock to continue to take his game to the next level, turning Luke Kennard into a better player, maybe seeing if you have anything with Henry Ellenson, finding some diamonds in the rough in free agency as well. But I wanted to point you guys towards another podcast to listen to an episode with. I really enjoyed this one. David Locke, the founder of the Locked On Podcast Network, the Utah Jazz radio guy. He was on with Nate Duncan, who's a favorite of the elite basketball fans crowd. He's got a podcast, Dunked On Basketball. Former lawyer. He covers the Warriors, so he's obviously been a guy who's had a lot of spotlight on him as the Warriors have turned into the team to watch of the NBA of the past few years. Wednesday's episode, like I said, David Locke was on there. And it's Utah Jazz heavy, it's Rudy Gobert heavy. But I think that the discussion was one that I actually just listened to a little while ago on my commute. And I just thought that it was a good listen. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are universal basketball things that they touched on and got into, disagreed about some things quite a bit, but two smart guys. David Locke, like I said, he's my boss, so I'm not going to say anything negative about him, or, you know, anything too negative about him. He's got some ideas that are, I just like guys when they have a little bit of a different take about things, you know, like the Chuck Klostermans of the world out there. And David Locke's one of those guys, and he backs up with a lot of his things with data. He recently had in a tweet that he thinks Rudy Gobert is like not only a top 10 player in the NBA, but maybe even like a top 6 or 7 player in the NBA based on the, you know, this defense that he brings, especially during this huge run that the Jazz have had in the second half of the season. But for to have a guy like David Locke go up against, you know, in a debate in some ways with the current mind of the NBA and Nate Duncan in some ways, I just thought that was a really good podcast. I think it's worth a listen, and not just because it was my boss out there. But another reminder that you should check out David on the Locked On NBA podcast that came out on Thursday, the episode with Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA. We played a couple excerpts of that this week, so I think you should check that out as well. And then alongside that, Locked On Pistons and Locked On Lions. Give us a follow at Locked On Pistons on the Twitter account at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And we got Matt Derry of Detroit Radio, Locked On Lions. You know him, the Matt Patricia. The cornbread is getting cooked up for next year already. Check out Locked On Lions every day. The draft's coming up. I know you guys are probably listening to it already, as I know that Detroit is just lousy with Lions fans that are addicted to this team for better or worse. But the Locked On Network, man, we've got you covered, your team every day. Pistons return to action on Saturday night in downtown Detroit against the Chicago Bulls for a 7 o'clock game. The Bulls are coming in tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks on a 3-game losing streak, and then they will play on the second of a back-to-back. I thought about going to that Bulls-Bucks game tonight, and I might change my mind to go, but I'd say it's doubtful at this one. I'm going to the United Center plenty soon. Actually, three assignments to head there for Bulls games at the end of the season. And that sounds like a lot of Bulls basketball. So I think I'm going to get my fill with the work instead of the pleasure fun trips instead. But the Bulls, like I said, coming on a back-to-back to Detroit on Saturday night. They are chasing Sacramento and being chased by the New York Knicks in Tankathon right now. And obviously with the Bulls playing on Friday, there's no point spread available for the game. Cristiano Felicio, the Brazilian big man, is playing well for them lately, but there's plenty of chances for production as the team is in heavy in roster evaluation mode. And I'm not talking about the top of the roster. I'm talking about the bottom of the roster. Coach Fred Hoiberg, he's been kind of going at his team in the media during the last couple months as their season has fizzled out after it was looking pretty strong in about February, early February, late March, when they put together a nice stretch of ball before they traded Nico Mirotic to the New Orleans Pelicans. I mentioned that podcast with Nate Duncan and David Locke, and the way they talked about the Utah Jazz had me thinking about Stan Van Gundy quite a bit. The way that they talked about Jazz coach Quinn Snyder handling the rebuild that he came in, I think, about 4 years ago, maybe the same year, maybe the year before Stan got with the Pistons. But kind of the way he approached his first year or so with the Jazz, practicing a lot, implementing his stuff, and maybe even tiring his team out a little bit with the practice and the fatigue that he'd give them during the season throughout the long stretch, and maybe even at the mercy of losing more games in that first season, and also throwing the terminology and the concepts of the system at his players day after day and then turned into year after year so they could take things to an advanced level. It gives me a little bit of pause when thinking about firing Stan Van Gundy as coach at the end of this year. It's hard for a new coach to come in and put his stuff in, and it's hard for players to adjust to that. And obviously, you got a team that's based on the roster construction and the salary cap construction of the next 4 years. You got a team that's the better win right away, because the chances of winning next season are certainly better than the chances of winning 3 or 4 years from now, you would think. So firing Stan Van Gundy obviously would unravel some of those things. But then you watch the Pistons defensively at times, and maybe Thursday against the Rockets is notwithstanding, but it's like, are they doing the right things conceptually defensively anyway? Does it even matter if we tear that down quite a bit? Does the coaching staff have the right stuff out there being taught? And if so, are the players getting it? Are they understanding it? Is the communication level there? Stan Van Gundy was out of coaching for several years before he came to Detroit, and he has come in, and you could argue that he might be a bit of a dinosaur in some ways, especially when you look at his on-court performance of the teams the last couple of years in Detroit, which has been disappointing. It's a lot the same way that Tom Thibodeau is in Minnesota, and they're having a lot of success this year with a lot better of a roster, obviously, but a guy that came in and was thought of as a coaching genius before, and like I said, the team's playing well, going to be playing in the Western Conference playoffs, but not really defensively in Minnesota is it happening for them. So the things he was doing in Chicago is maybe, and also as the quote-unquote defensive coordinator for Doc Rivers in Boston, as that team had the nice run, including the championship there a few years back, maybe they aren't as relevant as the game evolves, those defensive principles that Tom Thibodeau knew back then and Stan Van Gundy supposedly knows now. And we know that Van Gundy's not exactly as into the analytics type stuff and maybe the modern NBA stuff. And maybe that's a little bit unfair because we're not in the organization. We don't know what goes on at a day-to-day level for them. But certainly the Pistons aren't thought of as a team that's forward-thinking and ahead of the curve in a lot of things. Yes, they do a lot of league-wide scouting. They boosted up the scouting department, but really, if you're thinking about, you know, the free agents that they've picked up over the years and some of these, you know, Jameer Nelson types trades, is that really a good barometer of success that that those scouting departments are having? Is it really paying any dividends for this team? You know, as time has evolved, I wonder if Stan Van Gundy has evolved with it in this league, and evidence says that it probably hasn't. You don't hear about a coaching assistant that's running the defense or something like that and doing different things with the team or seeing some things of players that are suddenly getting it or evolving as defensive players. You see Stanley Johnson evolving as a defensive player, but I think that's more one-on-one type stuff, not defense concepts and things like that. Andre Drummond is a guy who's improved defensively, and some of that is being a little bit more aggressive on the perimeter at times, but maybe, you know, there's some one-on-one situations, but you had guys like Tobias Harris never really made a step forward defensively. The point guards, a lot of that is lateral movement and the way that they can defend players, and Ish Smith's size obviously is going to have him behind the eight ball a little bit there. But you're just not seeing consistently on the court things defensively that the Pistons are doing that is obviously positives trickling down from the coaching staff. But back to the Bulls, they had their last game against Denver. They got drilled as Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and Robin Lopez all didn't play. Obviously, you're playing up injuries at this point if you're tanking like they are. Just a dearth of talent in the Windy City right now. And I shouldn't have been so bullish on yesterday's podcast about their chances of knocking off Milwaukee, even with Giannis probably not playing tonight. Pardon the pun on bullish, by the way. So I probably overstated that a little bit. So you would expect that Milwaukee probably cruises against Chicago tonight, and the Pistons would do the same on Saturday. So no ground made up, and nothing to get too excited about with the Pistons in terms of the playoff picture. But it'll be interesting to see these last 11 games and how the team kind of gels together, especially with an eye on what's going to happen in the offseason with Stan Van Gundy and the formation of the 2018-2019 Detroit Pistons. But anyway, we're going to be wrapping up the game Saturday night against the Bulls on Monday's podcast, and maybe we'll revisit if there's any reason to be excited about the rest of the season. And I'll have some exciting guests lined up for you guys next week as well. I want to thank you for all your support and checking us out as the season kind of winds down. And we're looking for new and innovative things to talk about here on Locked On Pistons. But the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net, give that a follow. And give us a like on Facebook at Matt Shook, at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. So again, thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend. Go Wolverines on Saturday night if you're a fan. And we'll talk to you all again soon.